The point. Hello, it's Mike Robin. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. We've got more with Ann Haish on the upcoming NBC series, Save Me. And he plays one in real life and in movies like The Avengers. Newscaster Pat Kiernan now has a new job. He's handing out money to small businesses, and we'll tell you how that works. Plus, the Wonder Woman pilot. Whatever happened to that? Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
It's easy to say that newscaster Pat Kiernan, especially in the New York area, is the go-to guy, well, for newscasters. Anytime a show needs somebody to fill the part, like Law & Order SVU, or even in a movie like Marvel's Avengers, well, there's Pat. And for Pat, being in front of the microphone, well, it was a boyhood dream.
It was a boyhood dream, and I got talked out of it a few times when I was in high school, and the guidance counselors would be, oh, you can't make any money in that business. Why don't you become a lawyer or an accountant or something? But I enrolled in business school. Got involved at the campus radio station, and eventually, though I completed the business degree, wound my way back into the radio and television news reporting.
Early in Pat's broadcasting career, a chance meeting got him interested in business.
When I first arrived in New York, this would have been 1996, we were doing a series of reports in conjunction with Fortune magazine, and there was this company that wanted to come in and tell us about how it was going to change internet retailing, and they were so eager to come in. We were just a little show, but this guy was like, no, I'm gonna fly in. You tell me when to be there from Seattle, and I'm gonna fly in and do this interview. And I was like, are you sure he understands it? It's like a 15-second soundbite in this story. But this guy got in a plane from Seattle. His name was Jeff Bezos, and he was starting a little company called Amazon that was going to sell books online and compete with Barnes & Noble and Borders and you know, the rest is history.
I asked Pat, going forward from that moment to now, what he really sees as the biggest change in online broadcasting.
The thing we've seen change dramatically just in the time since that interview in 1996 is the way we consume information and how much we expect everything to be on demand. And obviously your program's an example of that we get these things when we want them, we listen to them where we want to listen to them, and it's not on the terms of broadcasters like it used to be. There's an expectation that if you miss the program when it airs initially, that you'll be able to find it again somewhere else, that you'll be able to record it on your DVR. And that's this transformational change. I mean, when I started in broadcasting, which I like to think of isn't that long ago, the only time you saw something is when the TV station decided to put it on. And now we have this on-demand world, and we're still only halfway there with the way things are happening on demand. But I think, you know, 10 years from now, it'll be fascinating to see if any program has a scheduled start time, or if you just watch everything when you want to watch it.
Right now, crowdfunding is hot, with Kickstarter being involved in so many different projects. And that leads us to Pat's new show called Crowd Rules.
Well, yeah, this came from that idea. And we had to twist it a little bit because it wasn't practical to sort of have everybody walking into the studio with their checkbook. But what we did do is at the beginning of every episode, we tell the crowd of 100 that you've got a $50,000 prize to award, and we're going to do that with your votes. So we bring three companies into the studio. Over the course of the hour, all three of them make their case as to why they deserve the $50,000 from the crowd. Just to turn up the heat on the companies a bit, we bring in a small business expert who has traveled to each of the three company headquarters, seen the business. That person gives us their assessment just so that the crowd has a little more to go on than just taking the word of the companies. But by the end of the hour, the crowd picks a favorite. Sometimes it's a close vote. Sometimes it's a very one-sided vote. But they pick a favorite, and that's the company that gets the money that they can use then to expand their business, to increase their marketing, bring on some staff, buy some inventory. Whatever they want to do with the money, it's theirs. And $50,000 is a good chunk of money for a small business. At that startup stage, that's a transformational prize that can really put them over a big hurdle and on their way to success.
So how do they find companies to work with?
We recruited nationally for contestants. We've got companies from Florida, California, New York, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Washington State, you name it. I mean, we've got companies from all over the country. For the initial round of the show, it's always tougher to to recruit companies. We had no shortage of companies that submitted their names, but it was a more active process because we had to explain what the show was. I can tell you that even just with the pre-show publicity here, we've already got plenty of companies rolling in for any future episodes we do. But initially, it was an outreach process, just letting people know what the show was and telling them how it might be helpful to them to be involved.
Down the line, will the show be following up on the winners?
Yeah, very much part of the plan. I don't know whether that would be in the form of like a one-hour reunion show or whether we'd do 2 minutes on each episode reminding people, you know, what's gone on with our first winner. But I think that is something that the audience will be interested to see because you want to see whether they followed through on the things they said they were going to do.
You can see more on Pat and his website, patspapers.com, and more on Crowd Rules at cnbc.com, and new episodes every Tuesday on CNBC. Let's jump into the very latest in pop culture. The never-before-seen third season of Steven Seagal's Lawmad has found a home. It'll be on Reels and it'll be premiering in June. You can catch up on the previous seasons, beginning with the first one running on the network starting in June. Season 2 will air in the fall, and then the third season will premiere on the network next January. The future of Stephen King's Dark Tower on the big and the small screen still is a little bit uncertain. Originally conceived as a series of movies that would be bridged by some television, now that's been changed to more than likely a single movie. However, there's talk that a private investor has stepped forward to make that original plan happen. All it takes is an agreement from the folks who control the property. That right now, of course, is Ron Howard and Brian Grazer. The only thing for certain is that Russell Crowe is still attached to star in the project, wherever it ends up. The sad news is pilot season has come and gone, and the CW network has done nothing to progress the Wonder Woman pilot that was talked about called Amazon. There were hopes that it could get on the schedule in time for the fall to be paired, of course, with the successful Arrow series. But the good news is they've reassigned a new writer to the project, and that the CW president told reporters that the project is a top priority at the network, and the hopes are to get things moving in time, so possibly to make Amazon a mid-season replacement on the network in early 2014. The past few days have been pretty significant for online streaming and the television networks, with ABC announcing their online streaming that has already begun in some markets and will roll out for the entire country by the time the fall season premieres in a few months. And big news from TBS and TNT, they plan to offer live 24/7 streaming, also starting this summer as well, on each channel's website, with plenty of pre-advertising about that, and we'll be able to tell you more as it gets closer to that. In the meantime, just plan on keeping that iPad close at hand. CBS ended the season as still the number one network and made that clear when they announced their plans for the fall. No real big changes there except a move for Hawaii Five-0 from Monday to Friday nights and some new shows on the way that include the one we talked about before with Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar. And, of course, Josh Holloway's series called Intelligence, with him getting a superized computer microchip in his brain to fight crime. And finally, of course, the Anna Faris comedy Mom, about a newly sober mother trying to make her way in the world as well. Of course, everybody's talking about the S.H.I.E.L.D. trailers, the one that ran during Once Upon a Time a few days back, and then the extended one that's been online over the past couple of days. Now, the big discussion is who exactly that superhero is that you see in the trailer. Well, apparently it is not Luke Cage, at least according to sources close to Joss Whedon. It is a Marvel character, and more than likely that'll be something that'll be kicked up in discussions over the next few weeks and revealed down the line. One of the great things about rumors on the internet is stuff just doesn't seem to go away, and one of the more persistent ones is the fact that there may be a sequel to the Dread movie, despite a pretty dismal showing in theaters a few months back. It's a rumor that keeps coming back up and back up, and even Carl Urban said in a recent interview that it's not completely off the agenda, so there's still hope.
The Point!
Your Pop Culture Channel.
NBC is sending a message of sorts to viewers over the summer with a new series called Save Me, starring Anne Heche as a woman who gets messages from God and tries in her own way to well interpret them in life. I ask Anne if overall does the show itself have a message?
You know that we can feel good and make people feel good, and that we can find hope in our day. You know, it doesn't. God is something that I have, you know, confronted, questioned, dealt with, looked at, experienced, rejected, embraced my whole life. I've had a, you know, a give and take with this God identity. And I think everybody has. I think everybody talks to God sometimes. I think everybody tries to figure God out. I think we all would love to have a helping hand. I think we would all like to trust that we're being taken care of, that life means something. And this is a story about a woman who's dealing with that every single moment of her life and wanting the best for everybody and wanting to use that experience of God to help people. So I hope that people feel like God's out there helping them out. They're, you know, that we're here for each other because that's all we've got. So if God, if you can find God in a friend, if you can find God in a smile of a stranger, it's here, you know, it's here. We're here to help each other out. And I hope people feel that from the show, even if it's to make people laugh, you know, who's to say that laughter isn't God.
So how did she go about preparing for this role?
Let's see. What did I do? Oh, well, in the pilot, you know, Beth is kind of a slob when we first meet her. You know, before Beth gets filled with God, she's kind of a slob and a drunk and everything. So in the pilot, for the first time, she decides to get herself together and go out and start running. And I remember thinking, I wonder how God feels in your body. You know, what would it feel like if all of a sudden God started walking around in your body? So I went into Hancock Park, which is where I live in Los Angeles, and I went to a gorgeous street that looked like the street where we were going to shoot. It kind of looks like Cincinnati. And I remember putting on earphones, and I looked all around and was really hoping that nobody was watching me. And I started acting, I started feeling what it would feel like. Like, what would it feel like if all of a sudden I was just filled with God? And so I started running down the street, and I was jumping and doing jumping jacks and shaking my leg and doing all of this goofy stuff. And I looked over, and there was like two dogs and two people with their heads tilted. It's like, what is in that girl? What is that about? And I realized that I had figured it out, that this character needs to be filled in her body all the time. And so my work kind of was that I prepped for started there. Just what does it feel like to feel that good? What would it feel like if I felt, if I knew that I was going to be okay, which is really what I feel like God is to Beth, an answer that everything's going to be okay for her, that she's going to make it, she's going to live, she's going to reconnect with her daughter, she's going to reconnect with her husband, her friends, everything's going to be okay. And so that's the feeling that I have when I'm working on her.
See Anne in new episodes of Save Me every Thursday on NBC, and of course see more at NBC.com.
The Point.
Does it for the podcast back in a couple of days. You know the Defiance has been renewed for another successful season on Sci-Fi, and we go behind the set to talk to the cast about what's coming up for the rest of this season and what lies ahead for the game and the TV show as well. In the meantime, the podcast is heard on great websites like comicmix.com and michaeldavisworld.com, and you can always find us in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Now, for more great pop culture, you can listen free anytime you want to at getthepointradio.com. On your iPhone or your iPad with our free app available in the iTunes App Store under Pop Culture and The Point, or on your Droid or your BlackBerry with the app called TuneIn, or just on your desktop with a couple of clicks. Like us on Facebook, and of course, follow us on Twitter, too, both under The Point Radio, and we'll see you back here in a few days.
Get The Point Radio.